This is With an Ohio Bias, a podcast for real fans with D and Jake. Special presentation of the 10th Unit Report joint podcast with the Dog Pod. Jake got the guys on from Husky Nation and BT Law Dog. BT really broke it down for us, Jake, when it came to all things Huskies.
I'm just excited, I guess. Like, if you can't be in the national college football playoff, the next best thing is to be in Pasadena for the traditional Pac-12 Big Ten game at the Rose Bowl.
All right. Happy to be joined by the Dog Pod. Just introduce yourself and tell people where they can find your social media handles at.
Absolutely. So BT from the Dog Pod. You can find us at Twitter at Dog Pod, DAWGPOD, and on iTunes as well for the podcast.
All right, BT, let's get into it. I mean, we know Myles Gaskins is the key to the Washington Huskies car. So how much can we put on this guy knowing he's going pro? I mean, do you see them tailing off a little bit, or he's still going to be the focal point of the offense?
You know, it's an interesting question, but, you know, you keep in mind this is a running back who could have gone last year that most of us expected to. So he's someone who wants to give everything he can. There's no question that he's not going to be one of the guys who sits out his final game in order to get ready for the combine. He's going to be in it. You know, he's one of the most patient, heady runners we've ever witnessed. He's not the bruiser who's going to take too much undue injury. And statistically, really, he's the greatest. He's the greatest we've had. 4 straight 1,000-yard seasons. 2,500-yard games, 60 career TDs. I mean, he's broken pretty much every running back record that there is for Washington and most in the Pac-12, but they're going to leave heavy on him. The only thing I would say, we do have a second option. Look out for Savon Ahmed, a redshirt freshman, really speedy, definitely quicker than Gaskin in the open field. So they love to use him on the sweeps. You know, look, in the end of the day, I think yards per catch are probably higher for Savon. But both can catch passes out of the backfield, and both can pass patches downfield. So you kind of look out for both of them.
What is going on with the Huskies play calling? I feel like they got, I mean, I know it was a defensive slobber knocker in the Pac-12 championship.
Oh my gosh.
But even before that, I look back to the start of the season when you guys were right in the thick of it with Auburn, and then just going through the season, I think about the way that you guys, you got past some games, but some of the games you lost, it feels like they got real conservative. So what's going on with the play calling? I mean, am I wrong in that assessment? Or, I mean, because I didn't watch every game, but I watched a lot of them.
Yeah, it can be frustrating. And, you know, so we lost Jonathan Smith, the OC, to Oregon State. Now he's a head coach, has gotten his opportunity there at his alma mater, and they brought in Bush Hamden. You know, and Hamden obviously had experience at the Falcons, had experience across college. And you know, he's a really good recruiter, very liked by the Huskies, you know, kind of a coach's or player's coach. But yeah, you know, there's definitely a lot of times throughout the season, and even in the Pac-12 championship, where you're just banging your head against the wall saying, well, look, what are we doing here? You know, it's a lot of really, really ultimately expensive plays. I mean, look at Auburn. We're driving down the field for the win, and all of a sudden we're trying to pull some type of a pitch play that never had any chance for success, fumbling at 30 yards, and that's it, game over. You know, look again what happened at Cal. Jake's struggling. He's struggled throughout the year in certain situations. We pull him in for his backup, Jake Haner, who immediately throws a pick six, and we lose against Cal. So there's a lot of, I think, you know, individual moments that have been really, really concerning for Husky Nation. Some of it I wouldn't put on him. If you look at, you know, why are we going for it on the 40, or, you know, not even that, why are we going for it on the 30 when we can even, or 25, we can kick a 37-yard field goal here. And why we are is because our special teams is so bad, and we don't have faith in the kicker. So you see us pulling a lot of a lot of moves on fourth down, even things on third down, knowing that we don't have that ability to kick the long field goal that I think make our OC look a little worse than he is. But you know, at the end of the day, I think the body of work speaks for itself. What he's done this year, and we're pleased with where we are. But yeah, definitely, there's been a lot of head scratchers this year.
So I guess if you're looking at that situation and Chris Peterson, you know, a guy who comes out of Boise, very highly rated and known for doing whatever it takes to beat the team, even when you're underhanded or undermanned. What are your guys' thoughts on Chris Peterson so far, and where are you at with him, I guess, in the same vein? with what you just explained there with the offensive coordinator, how much of it are you guys putting on him, and is there pressure right now on Chris Peterson?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say so. I mean, I think Chris Peterson is probably number two, right, with Don James in terms of already being Husky legend status. And part of that is because of where we were. You know, we're not that far removed from 2008, an 0-12 season under Tyrone Willingham, you know, empty seats, 5,000, 10,000 people in Husky Stadium, and really was a place where we never thought we'd be. And what Chris Peterson has done in such a short period of time, you know, two Pac-12 titles, trip to the college football playoff, two back-to-back New Year's Six bowl games, what he's done. And, you know, if somehow we can pull off this upset against Ohio State, the senior class would have 40 wins, which is just incredible. And, you know, absolutely incredible feat. So as much as there has been frustration this year, I think that more of that has been unnecessarily placed on Jake Browning's play and fairly placed on special teams. And that's an area where I think we've got to make some coaching moves on the special teams side. But, you know, maybe it's again a factor of where this Husky football team has come from. But end of the day, you know, he walks on water around Husky Stadium.
Yeah, I'm glad that Husky football is back, as Husky Stadium, and that is one of the best environments in all of college football when it's rocking. So glad to hear that. And like Dee said, ultimate respect for your program, what's going on there. Let's talk a second about the quarterback, Jake Browning. You know, he comes in as a freshman, and it seems from the outside looking in that there may be some regression with Jake Browning. Has he kind of lived up to what you guys thought he'd be at this stage, his fourth year now? Or is it? Am I a little bit misguided in thinking that?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's the winningest quarterback in not only Husky history, in Pac-12 history, with 39 wins, almost 12,000 passing yards, and 94 touchdowns. The body of work is incredible. I think he has surpassed expectations that we had of him as a freshman, but definitely everyone would say he's fallen off from what we saw in 2016. You know, look back to 2016. He finished sixth in Heisman voting when we made it to the CFP. And what are your thoughts? Of course, that he should be coming into the next year, his junior year, you know, as a Heisman front runner, or at least a top three, you know, Heisman candidate. And, you know, questions about his arm strength, questions about the shoulder injury, and definitely questions about decision making. Ultimately, he doesn't have that downfield cannon to throw the bomb. He's very accurate in mid range and the underneath throws, but the decision making, you know, he tries to kind of do that Brett Favre, I'm going down, but I'm going to try to throw it before, you know, with one knee down and see who I can hit. And you have these, you know, look at the first Utah game, these just silly picks that were thrown to offensive linemen. And a lot of this decision making that I think are decision making in very, very public, in public spaces where everyone's talking about it on Monday. So there's that piece of it, I think, where people are frustrated. Frankly, you know, I get a little bit upset with Husky Nation, who I think is too down on him. Look at the body of work and what this kid has done for us for 4 years. But, you know, I look at this game and think, I said the same thing before the Pac-12 championship, is Jake Browning's got a gift for you. He has a gift for the Ohio State team. And what are you going to do with it when you get it? Is it a pick six, or, you know, is it just a turnover on downs and you can't, and you're three and out and you don't do anything with it? But what are you going to do with that gift? Because he's had one in store for every team we've played this year.
Yeah, we'll definitely take the late Christmas presents. That's no problem.
They'll be coming.
Just one last thing, I guess, on my end that I'm interested about is that defense. When you look at this matchup, Haskins has had issues when you make him uncomfortable and you make him move around a little bit. And I know that back side of your defense is one of the best in the nation. Just tell me a little bit about it, and how uncomfortable are you going to be able to make Dwayne Haskins, and how hard is he going to find it to have open guys downfield?
I mean, that really was what it's come down to, you know, and I think Coach K, who's, you know, been Coach Pete's defensive coordinator forever, he elevated a very selfless move of gave Jimmy Lake, you know, who has been our secondary coach, and let him call the plays on defense to keep him around, because he had a lot of head coaching offers. And I think it's really paid dividends. And those corners are critical in a defense like ours. You know, we operate out of a nickel base with three down linemen. And particularly, you know, we rely on a lot of pressure from the nose tackle of great gains, and he's great, but he's not Vita Vea and he's not Danny Shelton, who you guys had up there in Cleveland for a while, who were just so incredibly dominant as college players at that nose tackle position. So even then, it puts even more pressure on our secondary. The performance that they have absolutely been incredible this year. Byron Murphy, Taylor Rapp, both first team Pac-12. And between the two of them, that's the 2018 and the 2016 Pac-12 championship MVPs, probably both likely first round draft picks. And I think I'm really excited to see what these guys can do against the Buckeye receivers. And in the middle of the field, who's helping out a lot, we just had the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year was Zach Kirvin. So he's the senior. He's leading the nation in tackles, 165 total tackles. And really our secondary is, which is really interesting, Taylor Rapp, he leads the team in sacks. Oh, so him bringing pressure off of the edge. So look, at the end of the day, they're a top five scoring defense in the country. They contain really well. They put you in third and long, and they don't make a lot of mistakes. And that's kind of more of the defense teams that will try to pick them apart downfield. At the end of the day, there's a three and out that gets them off. But we don't give out a lot of these big long burn plays. So it's going to be really interesting to see. I think again, we all watched that the Big Ten championship against Northwestern and saw what the receivers were able to do, and thought, wow, this is going to be a challenge for our secondary. I think really, in my opinion, what's going to happen in the Rose Bowl, the question's more going to be on the offense side is, can our offense sustain drives? If they can't, if they're three and out, you can only ask so much of our secondary. Once they start putting hands on hips because they're asked to do too much, I think they're going to get picked apart. But love the talent, love the matchup. I think that's what everybody should have eyes on.
All right, great stuff, BT. Thanks for all the insight. It's great rivalry renewed in the Big Ten Pac-12 Rose Bowl matchup. And you guys are going to the game, I know, so enjoy the game and tell Law Dog we said hey.
I will for sure. I'll be sitting actually with some Buckeye fans. My wife is from Cleveland, was able to get 8 tickets, and her best friend from Miami of Ohio and their family, who are diehard Buckeyes, live out in LA. So giving that to them. So I'll be sitting with them and tailgating with them. And as Husky Nation, we'll always owe you guys a debt of gratitude for keeping the Oregon Ducks down to the zeros with national championships. Always have to say thanks for that. But it's going to be a great game. Let's see if we can pull this off. Go Dogs.
Absolutely. So we look forward to the big game. Probably I'll talk at you guys on the other side of 2019 when it comes to all things college football, but definitely we'll talk again about all things Ohio State football and that big game in the granddaddy of them all, the huge game. So for all that, we will talk at you next time. As always, go Bucks. OH.
I-O.